it's fair to say I was just too polite.
Oh, that's what it was. He was just way too polite. That was the president, of course, commenting on the Tom Joyner radio program today. 5:37, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And now, here's a man that's always way too polite, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Hurt. Hi, Charles.
That is what I'm known for, is my politeness.
Yes, I know you are. I saw your column in the Washington Times today, the nuclear option column, introducing to America the real Barack Obama. I love the fact that this president has accepted no responsibility for his poor performance last week.
Yeah, and what is this about, I was too polite? That's like saying I was too awesome, or I was just, I was too great, and therefore, you know, I was too great. I was too awesome of a guy, therefore I lost. It's like lunatics.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, it's not just him. He's not the only one making up all kinds of excuses. I mean, you name anybody on the left, they're ready to cover for this guy.
Yeah, it's really funny, and the tone of it is so nasty.
Yeah.
And it, of course, it all comes directly from, you know, President Obama when, you know, the very next day he was out there talking about how, you know, it was a different person out there. It wasn't the real Mitt Romney out there, and it's just absurd. That, you know, the suggestion being that there's something dishonest or unreliable about Mitt Romney and his performance, his sterling performance. And then, you know, all the way from there on down, it's all very poisonous with the campaign calling Mitt Romney dishonest and his performance was dishonest. And but it's a new side of President Obama that we certainly never saw 4 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, you got people like David Axelrod out there, who is the poster boy for dishonest, claiming that Mitt Romney's dishonest.
Yeah, he called him Elmer Gantry, the oily evangelist.
Yeah.
And what's so funny about that is I don't know anybody who's oilier or slicker than David Axelrod. Every time he says something, you have to listen very carefully in order to ascertain whether there is any truth in there. And if there is any truth in there, it's probably very well disguised in a whole lot of farce.
Yeah. And you know who's really become a major hack lately? Robert Gibbs. I think he's become even worse than he was.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I remember when he was back with John Kerry. He was with the Kerry campaign 1.0, and you know, back then, you know, he was. You could rely on him to sort of to at least realize where reality is. But I think a lot of these people, I don't know whether it's 4 years of really really tough years or what, but they've become detached, and
yeah.
I don't think that they have any concept of where the truth really lies.
Yeah, and Stephanie Cutter, she's another one. This woman is, I call her the PPL, the paid professional liar, because she will say anything at any given moment, and she doesn't even care if she gets caught. I mean, she got caught the other night by Aaron Burnett on CNN and admitted that, okay, that $5 trillion number, all right, that's not really right. But last night, she goes on CNN again with this little, like, graph that she had hand-drawn showing that how, hey, look, everything does add up to $5 trillion. Of course, she didn't give you all the facts, but it, I mean, it's bizarre.
Yeah, she's shameless, and you know, she's another holdover. She was the sort of knife thrower in John Kerry's 2004 campaign as well. And what was so striking about Obama's 2008 campaign was how utterly different it was. It was not this political hackery that we saw, or at least in my opinion, it was not the political hackery that we saw from previous Democratic presidential campaigns. But man, this year he's brought out all those old people that are pure inside the Beltway, old style Washington hacks that will say anything. And it really is, disgusting. It's such a letdown from that bright and sunny, hopeful campaign that we saw 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I know one of the things I know you mentioned in your column is things have gotten so bad, Democrats have taken to covering Romney signs with feces or simply tearing them down. I mean, it's almost as if all of these, you know, Obama people are just having a meltdown.
Yeah. Did you see that video? It was online
yeah.
in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And it showed this guy at a gas station ripping down a big Romney sign, cutting it up and stuffing it into his Volvo sedan.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew that that's the political sign thieves were riding around in a nice Volvo sedan?
Yeah, and you'd also mentioned the cheating story. You know, they accused Romney of cheating, and as it turned out,
oh my goodness, I still can't believe that thing.
That was the shot, and I don't know if a lot of you folks saw it or not, but they actually slowed down the debate tape last week, the left that is, and they ran this footage, this video of Romney walking around, reaching in his pocket, pulling out something and sitting it on the podium. Well, as it turned out, it was his handkerchief, and he even went and used it later, and they had that on tape. But the left said, oh, it was a crib sheet. He was cheating, and that's illegal in debates.
And the first report that I saw of it anyway, where the writer had, you know, wrote this long, you know, explanation for how this was indisputably crib notes, and went through the whole thing, apparently had watched the entire videotape, I guess, but was completely unwilling to accept the fact that he then, if these were notes, they were, you know, a 3/4 of an inch thick. They were the exact square size of a handkerchief.
Yeah.
And he repeatedly dabbed himself at breaks, dabbed his brow with it. But I guess that's what he does with his cheat notes.
Yeah. Now, to the debate for tomorrow between Joe Biden and Paul Ryan, I see where the left has already come out. They're using the same warfare. Today they're asking the question, more than one of them on the left is asking the question, which Paul Ryan will show up? You know, they want to paint Ryan the same way they painted Romney last week.
Yeah, that's always when the first thing you go to is you're just going to call your opponent a liar. It reminds me of like one of the kids sticks his fingers in his ears, closes his eyes, and then just starts screaming because they don't want to hear anything that you're saying, and they just go gah. And that's kind of the argument that I'm hearing right now from
yeah.
those guys.
I guess Joe Biden's been rehearsing his gaffe somewhere. I don't know.
I hope so, because I mean, if we don't get 3 or 4 really solid gaffes tomorrow night, I'm gonna feel let down.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of counting on it.
Might not even vote for him again if I can't. We can't rely on him to give us at least 3 or 4 during an hour and a half debate.
Yeah. Hey, seriously, what do you think of Paul Ryan tomorrow night? You think he's geared up for this?
Yeah, I think so. And if nothing else, what we learned the other day was that a lot of practice and a lot of preparation means that you give a really great debate performance, because that's what we saw on Mitt Romney. And I can only imagine, knowing Paul Ryan as much as I do, that he has spent a lot of time working on this. He's going to have a solid command of the facts, and he's going to go out there and just sort of, you know, make the adult arguments and let Joe Biden try to defend the past 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, and I look forward to it tomorrow night. And as always, thank you for dropping by today, and perhaps we'll talk again after the debate just to see
Absolutely.
How things go. All right, thanks, Charlie.
Always a pleasure.
See ya. Charlie Hurt, Washington Times nuclear option column. That's what he writes. Today's is entitled Introducing to America the Real Barack Obama. 5:46, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.